Chapter 7. Women's Role in Soul-Winning Ministry. God's cause at this time is in special need of men and women who possess Christ-like qualifications for service, executive ability, and a large capacity for work, who have kind, warm, sympathetic hearts, sound common sense, and unbiased judgment, who will carefully weigh matters before they approve or condemn, and who can fearlessly say no, or yea and amen, who, because they are sanctified by the Spirit of God, practice the words, "All ye are brethren," striving constantly to uplift and restore fallen humanity. Christ provided a perfect pattern for true ministry. I attended the morning ministers' meeting. The blessing of the Lord came upon me, and I spoke in the demonstration of the Spirit of God and with power. There are those who are working out a great circle. The Lord has given Christ to the world for ministry. Merely to preach the word is not ministry. The Lord desires His ministering servants to occupy a place worthy of the highest consideration. In the mind of God, the ministry of men and women existed before the world was created. He determined that His ministers should have a perfect exemplification of Himself and His purposes. No human career could do this work, for God gave Christ in humanity to work out His ideal of what humanity may become through entire obedience to His will and way. God's character was revealed in the life of His Son. Christ not only held a theory of genuine ministry, but in His humanity He wrought out an illustration of the ministry that God approves. Perfection has marked out every feature of true ministry. Christ, the Son of the living God, did not live unto Himself, but unto God. Christians are God's helping hands. God's promises to the obedient are good tidings of great joy. They are gladdening to the humble, contrite soul. The life of the true Christian is radiant with the bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness. If men and women would act as the Lord's helping hand, doing deeds of love and kindness, uplifting the oppressed, rescuing those ready to perish, the glory of the Lord would be their reward. They would call, and the Lord would answer, "Here am I." They would turn to the one close beside them, who has given them the promise, "Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Women to consecrate their time to service of God. Women who are willing to consecrate some of their time to the service of the Lord should be appointed to visit the sick, look after the young, and minister to the necessities of the poor. They should be set apart to this work by prayer and laying on of hands. The article in which this statement appears is entitled "The Duty of the Minister and the People." It is a call for involvement of the laity in the church to become active and to share the burdens of the minister. See Appendix C. In some cases, they will need to counsel with the church officers or the minister. But if they are devoted women, maintaining a vital connection with God, they will be a power for good in the church. This is another means of strengthening and building up the church. We need to branch out more in our methods of labor. Not a hand should be bound, not a soul discouraged, not a voice should be hushed. Let every individual labor, privately or publicly, to help forward this grand work. Place the burdens upon men and women of the church, that they may grow by reason of the exercise, and thus become effective agents in the hand of the Lord for the enlightenment of those who sit in darkness. Not eloquence that makes work acceptable. God wants workers who can carry the truth to all classes, high and low, rich and poor. In this work, women may act an important part. God grant that those who read these words may put forth earnest efforts to present an open door for consecrated women to enter the field. Those who in their life work have not come into contact with the higher classes of society need not feel that they cannot do the work. It is not eloquence that makes their work acceptable. It is through the human and contrite that the Lord works. The dignified and self-sufficient cannot touch or help needy souls. Women can reach a class that men cannot reach. Women can do a work men cannot do in the homes. Discreet and humble women can do a good work in explaining the truth to the people in their homes. The Word of God thus explained will do its leavening work, and through its influence, whole families will be converted. In the home circle, at your neighbor's fireside, at the bedside of the sick, In a quiet way, you may read the scriptures and speak a word for Jesus and the truth. Precious seed may thus be sown that will spring up and bring forth fruit after many days. Visiting and follow-up work essential. Teach others to give Bible studies. The same interest is still manifested in the meetings in Stanmore, Australia. During the coming week, there is to be a baptism. Since the camp meeting, I have visited Stanmore often and have spoken 8 times on Sabbath and Sunday afternoons. The interest is wide and extended. Brother Wilson and wife, Brother Starr and wife, and Brother Haskell and wife are all working in the mission, educating workers to give Bible readings. Hold smaller meetings. When large effort is finished, the tent has been taken down, and Brother Colcord is holding meetings in a small hall connected with the house in which the mission family live. Brother and Sister James from Ballarat, Australia, have charge of the mission home. They both labor as they can to instruct the people. Sisters Wilson and Robertson have been and are doing a good work in Maitland, Australia. The Lord sustains them, and they have many friends. In the past, they have had to walk 3 and 4 miles to give their Bible readings, but now they have a horse and buggy. The Cress Collection, 129, 1900. Visitation essential part of ministry. Elder H. used to live here, Adelaide, Australia, and preach to the people, but he was not a shepherd of the flock. He would tell the poor sheep that he would rather be horsewhipped than visit. He neglected personal labor, therefore pastoral work was not done in the church and its borders. The deacons and elders of the church have acted wisely and worked judiciously to keep the church in order, and we find the people in a much better condition than we had expected. We are happily disappointed. But when I look over the years and think of what might have been done, if the man entrusted with the flock had been a faithful steward of God, watching for souls as one that must give an account, my heart is made sad. Had the preacher done the work of a pastor, a much larger number would now be rejoicing in the truth. An army for the Lord. A well-trained army, men and women are not to be spiritually dwarfed by a connection with the church, but strengthened, elevated, ennobled, prepared for the most sacred work ever committed to mortals. It is the Lord's purpose to have a well-trained army, ready to be called into action at a moment's notice. This army will be made up of well-disciplined men and women who have placed themselves under influences that have prepared them for service. To encourage one another in faithful service, there is need of a great reformation in our ranks. The ministers who are drawing pay from the conference need to ask themselves the question, am I a faithful worker? Am I a spiritual help to the church? There are those who demand high wages for their labors, but who bring few souls into the truth to stand steadfast and true to its principles. It is time for our ministers to humble their hearts before the Lord and bear a straight, convincing testimony to the people. It is time for them to labor earnestly to increase the membership of the churches, leading all to a thorough understanding of the truth for this time. The Lord wants living members in His church, men and women who will encourage one another in faithful service. For examples of the public ministry of Ellen White, see Appendix B.